Imagine this. It's a 44-degree day and you're sheltering inside, relying on the aircon to keep you cool, comfortable and safe. Suddenly, your power is cut off, leaving you with no way of beating the heat and risking your health. It's because you had to prepay for your energy, and now the credits run out. This is the reality for thousands of First Nations people living in remote communities in the Northern Territory. Now a network of First Nations organisations, civil society groups and energy advocates are calling for changes to help prevent disconnections and to keep people safer. Here to tell us more is Petra Franks, Darug woman and solicitor at the Justice and Equity Centre. Morning, Petra. Thank you so much for joining us on 2SER Breakfast.
Good morning, Danny. Thanks.
What is prepaid energy?
Well, for most people, you pay for energy after you've used it by paying your energy bill, whereas prepay energy works on credit. So you pay for the energy and then you use the amount that you buy. It's a little bit like having a pay-as-you-go mobile plan rather than paying a monthly phone bill. Prepay energy moves that responsibility for keeping the power on from the energy company onto the consumer. And that means that customers won't accumulate significant debt, which is great because that's a key stress for lots of households at the moment. But it also means that as soon as you can't afford the energy you need, you're disconnected, or otherwise you need to find some other different way to pay for your energy.
Why are so many First Nations people in the NT on prepaid energy?
Well, whether or not you're on prepaid energy largely depends on whereabouts it is that you live. It could be the default arrangement, it could be the only option that's available in your area, or it could be mandated by law, actually. Prepaid energy is used in the Northern Territory, in parts of Queensland and the Torres Strait, South Australia and Western Australia. And it's largely targeted to and used in First Nations communities and households. And because it's seen as a way to stop debt building up, it's targeted at low income households. But if a house isn't, for example, energy efficient, or it's located in a hot climate where, for example, summer just isn't possible without the aircon on all of the time, that's when you see lots of homes being frequently disconnected, and it's a really big problem. It's not unusual to see people spend, say, more than $150 a week on energy. Although customers won't get into that really big stressful debt with the energy retailer, there are these other hidden costs associated with prepay energy. One example is that a customer might need to drive a really long way to the store to physically top up, meaning that you need to access a car and pay for fuel. So all of that starts to add up. And you might even have to get a loan to pay for energy to avoid being disconnected, meaning that you're getting into debt anyway. You can't really be disconnected over the weekend, but also that's when you're more likely to be at home using up that energy. And more often, that means people will face disconnection on that Monday morning. And so to top up, you have to clear your weekend debt, keeping people in this weekly cycle of debt and threat of disconnection and these difficult repayments, which is really stressful.
Can you discuss further, like, what's the impact of being disconnected?
Yeah, well, once your energy credit runs out, the house will be disconnected and your power's turned off. So that means that the fridge turns off and your food spoils. And it's worth mentioning that if you're living in a remote community where groceries are really expensive, replacing what's in your fridge is going to be a really big financial burden. And if you use, for example, refrigerated medicines like insulin, that probably won't be safe to use anymore. If it's extreme temperatures, which is increasingly the case, you're left without heating, cooling. If your cooker's electric, that's gone. If your water is electric, that's gone. So disconnections actually pose really serious risks to health and well-being. The exact statistics on how often and for how long people are disconnected for is really, really difficult because there's inconsistency with recording and reporting on disconnections. But we know that disconnections are frequent and that they can be for a long time. It could be, say, 10 hours, or it could stretch for much longer. A commonly used stat is that 91% of homes in some First Nations communities in the NT, where prepay is mandated, were disconnected in 2018 and 2019, and most of those homes were disconnected over 10 times. Currently, there's a study that's being led by a First Nations energy organisation called Original Power, in partnership with Western Sydney University. That's to better understand how people experience prepay energy and disconnections and to collect that missing data about these disconnections.
I haven't even thought about all of that stuff there with sort of like medicine in the fridge and sort of all the hassles of getting there to top up your prepay and everything. Like, that's a hell of a situation. Now, you're part of a network there of First Nation organisations, civil society groups and energy advocates there at the the Justice and Equity Centre. You're all banding together to help try and make change here. What is it that you're hoping to change?
Well, for example, at the moment, energy providers and government agencies, they aren't required to gather data and publish that data on disconnections of homes on prepaid energy, so which is something that they have to do for people with standard energy bills. So this means we don't have a full picture of what's going on and we can't suggest policies or reforms that would really help. So that's something we want to see change, that data collection. With First Nations organisations and energy advocates in the NT, we're asking the Northern Territory Utilities Commission, who regulate energy in the NT, to get providers to publish that data and to respond to energy hardship for people on prepaid energy. The other really big changes that we'd like to see are things that would make energy providers take more responsibility for keeping the lights on, like banning disconnections, particularly during extreme weather, and stronger consumer protections for prepaid customers. There's also evidence that where communities are choosing and controlling their own energy systems and have built their own community-led renewable energy solutions, some of these big problems around energy affordability can be addressed. So more investment into those community-led energy solutions is another thing we really want to see more of. And in the end, all of these changes will mean that less people are getting disconnected and can live safely in homes that aren't damaging their health.
This is really important stuff that you're working on. Petra Franks, Darug Woman, Solicitor at the Justice and Equity Centre. Equitable access to energy is an essential foundation of health, well-being and participation in the community, and all the work that you're doing there at the Justice and Equity Centre provides crucial expert oversight of energy policy and regulation. If people are wanting to find out more, where would you direct them?
Well, a lot of work is being done by the First Nations Clean Energy Network and Original Power and the JEC, Justice and Equity Centre. We've signed up to their submission to the Utilities Commission, and you can find that on our website.
And I will put links to it on our website, the 2SER website. Petra Franks, thank you so much for joining us here this morning on 2SER Breakfast.
Thank you so much.